Recorded live from the unfinished loft project of Des's home just outside Brighton in Sussex, welcome to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. This is your no thrills, no BS, and absolutely no get rich quick or passive income promises hub. Hosted by your man, Des Hamilton.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the show.
For those that are new to the show and for those that don't know me yet, I'm Des. I am 43 years old. I'm living just outside of Brighton, and I am running a challenge for 2 years to turn £200 into £100,000. I am in month 13. We are getting very, very slowly, but very, very closely to the actual finish line. And while we've put lots of groundwork in place, the next 12 months are going to be really, really interesting. I started doing it knowing that Amazon FBA was my best way to get there. Without anything else, I knew that the startup had to be retail and online arbitrage because I only had £200, and there aren't many side hustles you can do with £200 that isn't a leap of faith like Amazon FBA is. You know that if you read your data right, you can turn 30% around quite easily on your startup investment. So what I did is I went to work doing that, but at the same time, I started documenting my journey and I started creating a community for the rest of us, of people like me in their 40s, parents, working full time, struggling to make ends meet, wondering why the money's gone up on food, petrol, water, gas, electricity, wondering where all of our taxes are going. We aren't going to be helped. No one's coming to help us, so it's entirely on us to do it. So that's what I did, and I wanted to inspire people to do the same thing as me. Now, what it also did was put the pressure right under my backside to make it successful myself, because otherwise I'm leading people down a path that might not lead to the land of riches unless I get to the land of riches first. It's a challenge, but my God, it's going brilliantly. Yesterday, we stepped into the 14th month, and I'm both excited and humbled, to be honest with you, to share the progress, because this month has just been another massive step on the journey and another milestone in my life has been achieved. And this is incredible, because in these last 12 months, there's been so many milestones, so many life-changing moments. When I see my parents, when I see my friends and they say to me, how's it going? It's just another thing. Being signed by a talent agency last week, that's just another thing, but it's a life changer. Anyway, let's get into the numbers. We kicked off the month with a balance of £22,847.84. And we closed the month with a profit of £6,150. Essentially, we closed it with £28,998.12, just shy, literally a couple of quid, just shy of £29,000 from £200 in 13 months. In terms of what the monthly turnaround was, that's a solid growth of 26%, obviously a tad shy of the 30% target. But this is something we foresaw and something that we prepared for. Because while hitting 30% each month, it's been so remarkable that we've consistently been able to hit it. I think in the 13 months, off the top of my head, we've missed it like three times. But we are well ahead of schedule because we've been hitting some months of 150%, haven't we? But it's essential to understand that growth in business, I've learned this myself, especially when you've got a business as dynamic as ours with as many multiple income streams as we've got, it's going to fluctuate. I mean, this month we did brace for a slightly slower pace. And here's why that it's perfectly okay to feel like that. Some months, they require us to make decisions that prioritize long-term growth over short and medium-term gains. And this could have involved, I don't know, investing in resources, adjusting our strategies, or doing what we've done, which is taking a step back to analyze our approach. You may have noticed I haven't put nearly as many TikToks out this month that I was consistently doing previously. That's because it's made us step back, look at everything we're doing, find improvements. But in order to do that, of course, we need to look from the outside in, which means pausing everything for a little bit, which isn't a bad thing at all, because it makes you take stock and find the things that you can improve on. Now, our Amazon sales, on the other hand, that had a great month. I mean, why wouldn't it? We're in month one of quarter four, and we are kicking on with that. But let's go back to the point in hand here. Rushing towards a target without considering sustainability. That's what leads to a potential burnout, isn't it? And a misstep. And you know the struggles that I've had with my imposter syndrome. It doesn't take much for me to feel burnt out. So a slightly slower growth rate, it ensures that we're building something better and something enduring, doesn't it? Because even though we didn't hit that 30%, what we have achieved this month is still remarkably significant. Still over £6,000. That's more money than me and my wife earn per month in our two full-time day jobs. This £6,000, it reflects just how adaptable we've been, just how resilient we've been, and our commitment. Because it's all about long-term growth, isn't it? We talk about this. There's no such thing as getting rich quick with a passive income. It's not. It's work. And any growth is better than none. And perfection is the enemy of small gains. So there's nothing wrong with that. I was asked a question on TikTok, a couple of people actually, when I posted my monthly results to break down the income streams. And I don't do this often. Now, as you know, the biggest earner in the last few months for me has been the mentoring. But I have said it from the start that Amazon will soon overtake that. And when it overtakes it, it won't go back. The Amazon profit that I'm bringing in has grown and grown each month. And last month, it was the Amazon profit that was my biggest earner by a mile. Like I said, though, month one of quarter four, so things were picking up. So if we take the various income streams I've got, which are the mentoring, Amazon sales, affiliate marketing, sponsorship deals, digital products, the ebook that we've got, ad revenue from YouTube, TikTok Creator Fund. Let's take those things. They all contributed to the £6,150. The Amazon sales alone were about 41%. If I round numbers up and round percentages up, 41% of that £6,150 was Amazon sales. The next one was the mentoring, but not as much as you think. You know, that was only 20% roughly. And then the affiliate marketing and the sponsorship deals, they both equated to roughly 16%. And then the digital products, 5%. And then the YouTube money and the TikTok money, about 1%. So you can see that the Amazon sales and the mentoring, they do the heavy lifting. And that's consistent anyway. But as I said before, the Amazon sales are the ones that are consistent. And it's growing, growing, growing. And the chart is always going up. All of the others, they fluctuate and they vary. Now, the other thing to counter off the back of that is my expenses. Expenses have gone up. We've got infrastructure in. We've got websites that we need to maintain and build. We've got staff that we need to pay. There are various things going on. But as we move forward, our focus remains on building this sustainable and thriving business. I mean, we continue to explore new strategies, refine our approaches. And most importantly, we are learning. We are learning so much. This is all so new to me. Great talent who manage me now. Coming on board, it means you will see a more sustainable and a more strategic plan from me as we go into 2024. But I will be here every week and I will be talking to you about it. I just quickly also want to take this moment to thank all of you as being part of this journey of shaping my life the way you're shaping it. The support you give me is incredible. The consistency that you give me is incredible. The questions you ask me and the shared experiences, you've no idea how much it means to me when you say to me, I've done this month, and thanks to Des. It's so empowering, and I really love it, and I'm really grateful. We're all on this collective adventure, right? Because I'm going to see you at the finish line, sipping tequila, eating mahi-mahi. Okay, let's get into the guest, right? Today, we're talking to Frankie, previously known as the FBA Führer. Frankie, he decided during college that he wanted a better life just a couple of years ago, and he went to work, and he got learning, and he put action in. Using the wholesale model mostly. But in 2 years, Frankie is a six-figure seller with two businesses. In October alone, he hit £8,000 in profit. That's not to mention his mentor program and the other income streams that he's got. Look, when you speak to Frankie, it's impossible not to be impressed by his ambition, his ethic, his approach to mentees, his confidence, and his all-round mindset, because it's entrenched in growth. And Frankie takes himself out of his comfort zone. And this will ring true as you listen to this. There's a hell of a lot we can learn from this guy. So let's get into it. I'll see you on the other side. So here we are with Frankie, the FBA Führer. Mate, really good to have you on. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Right then, let's get into it. tell us your story, because we see you on TikTok and we see the things that you're doing and we see the services you're offering, but we want to get into your story. Tell us your story. How did you get to where you've got to?
Since I've left school, I've always been like money motivated and interested in building a business, etc. Obviously, I've delved into multiple, but about over 2 years ago was when I started reading a lot about Amazon FBA, and I came across it through multiple people on social media, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. As everyone thinks, I think it's a scam or whatever. And I ended up taking some mentoring. That got me to a belief that it was real, because I've seen other people doing well. And I knew that as long as I've seen other people doing it that I've spoke to, then I know I can do it. But it was not easy at all. I took multiple mentoring off different people. At the end of the day, it's only when I started to put my own stuff together with everything I've learned, experiencing the game, is that's when I started to actually take off. So when I was at college, I was, wasn't really making much profit. And then it started to take up more and more of my time and making more profit. So then I used to sat days off college and not go. And then I'd have college ringing my parents like, oh, why are you not going to college? I was like, just leave him to it. He wants to do something else. But they've always left me to do what I want to do. And that's why I'm where I am today, because I didn't listen to anyone, teachers or family or friends telling me, oh, you need to go uni and pursue this and not do what you're doing now. So now I'm very glad I didn't listen to them. And that's basically my backstory.
So how long ago was this?
2 years ago now, on the dot.
2 years ago. And roughly how much are you on at the moment, generally speaking?
So I've done almost £400,000 in revenue in the last 2 years just from Amazon. And obviously I've got my side business as well, which is helping other people achieve that as well.
Yeah, mate, that's amazing. Good for you. Good for you. I can't imagine the pressure that must have been put on you, especially at college, just from everyone, because you would have gone against the grain.
Yeah, I mean, I used to sit in the back of the class, like just sourcing products. And everyone would be like, oh, he's not going to pass the exams and stuff. And I still managed to pass some of them. I don't know how. and then they're the sort of people now that would sort of text me and be like, oh, how do you get into this and whatever? Or what are you doing now? And I thought, you didn't care back then. So why are you bothered now?
So at what point, when you left college, in what point did you think, you know what, this is the one? What was there a sale that did it? Was there a specific product where you thought, hang on a minute, this is the jackpot?
It was when I was making more on my phone than I was at my part-time job or whatever. And it basically, I got to a point where it was summertime of that college year just finished. And because I passed the exams, I still had an opportunity to have like a really good job at the end of it. Sort of like a degree apprenticeship sort of thing. And I got a job opportunity and I turned it down, even though it was in a good career field and stuff, because I wanted to do this full time. And at the time it was probably a bit of a risk, because I was only earning like £1,500, £2,000, which is decent for like an 18-year-old back then.
Yeah.
I didn't know which way it was going to go. So I just thought to myself, I can do that job at any point in my life. I can never have this opportunity again with this less responsibilities and pressure on my shoulders. I may as well go all in now.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. So what sort of point did you think, you know what, I'm going to start documenting this. I'm going to start showing people what I can do.
That wasn't till about, so I started 2 years ago now. That wasn't until about July last year. I didn't actually start it to do mentoring or anything like that. Mentoring sort of found me, because I was just putting my values out there and all of a sudden people were just like texting me saying, oh, can you teach me? I thought, well, I might as well make some extra money if I can help them and grow my own business, because my own business didn't take up all day at that point. It found me. I wasn't out there saying, oh, I'll do mentoring. But then as I grew and got better reviews from mentoring, I thought to myself, I can make this into another business as well. And now it's doing quite well.
Mate, exactly the same. It's one of those, isn't it? You can either put together a package and go out and find it, or people lead you down there. People are DMs just saying, yeah, do you do mentoring? After a while, you think, I'm leaving money on the table here. This is quite a good deal. Yeah. And having sat courses, I should imagine, you knew what it would involve and you knew where you could make it better, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, my own experiences. You can't just go out there and take someone else's mentor and do it, because you're going to get found out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You have to know what you're doing in order to get those sort of results for people, because you will get found out at the end of the day. And that's why I've stayed this relevant, I guess, in TikTok, because of that.
I've got to admit, I was the same. You start off and you think, I'm going to do it on my own. I don't need one of these two Bob courses, bunch of cowboys up there. It's only when you get started, when you realize, hang on a minute, I need to invest in myself. If I'm going to make a big deal of this, I've got to do it properly, because it's no different to any other job, is it? No. And you're right. So many cowboys out there, but the good ones are awesome. And you've got to make sure that you don't just get blinkered that the whole thing is a stitch up.
Yeah, 100%.
Right then. So talk us through your first sale, Frankie. I love this question, because everyone's got a story. Everyone remembers it and everyone remembers how they feel.
First sale was, I bought 12 units of something from Retail Arbitrage. when I was packing them, because you have to pack the products and whatever, and there was only 11 in the box, and I was like, where the hell is this last one? Because at the time, that was a lot of money. It was like 20 quid. And I was like, where's it gone? And I ran upstairs, and my dad was using it. I thought, that's what I'm selling online later. And he was like, oh, yeah, I gave him money for it. But that was my first sale, and half of them was at a profit. Then I quickly realized the rest was at like a break-even or a loss because competition and Amazon come in. But it was an ecstatic feeling. I remember as well, not the very first sale, but I was working at Sainsbury's part-time or like a temporary job. And I did like £100 in sales, and that was like 15, 20 quid profit on my shift. And that's when I thought to myself, this is real and it's scalable. And that's what changed my whole mindset.
It's amazing, isn't it? We talk about this. Amazon is one of the only models of e-commerce where you get instant feedback. You can find it. You don't have to wait 6 months and build up an affiliate marketing program. You don't have to spend a load of money on even on private label stuff. What arbitrage gives you is, and even online retail, wholesale, all of them really. Oh, yeah. Once they're in, you know quickly if it's going to work or not. And then once it does, that penny drops, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%, mate, 100%.
So what models are you doing at the moment? You're on wholesale, aren't you?
Yeah, so probably 90% of my revenue, et cetera, has been wholesale. I have started to dabble a bit into private label now because I'm at that sort of point I think I can. And I'd like to say I've got more experience. So even if I do mess up a bit, I know that I can rectify it and learn off it and grow.
Yeah, right. Everyone that I've spoken to now, as a result of this podcast, all of the successful people I've spoken to, it's not just one model. It's impossible to just have one model. Why would you? Yeah. And even one storefront, one market, it's just ridiculous. You've got the whole world at your feet.
Yeah.
So for everyone that's sort of listening and they're getting into wholesale, because I know from my Facebook group, there's only so long online arbitrage can give you before you go, you know what? You do reverse sourcing and you think, well, I'm going to find a wholesaler eventually anyway. I might as well get into it. What advice would you give about approaching wholesalers that you might not have known getting off the bat?
So with wholesale, you want to come across professional. You want to come across like you can spend the money and you're not a small business, which is sometimes easier said than done, even if you have got limited capital, but you can still come across like you can spend the money. So come across like you can spend money, that you're professional, that you're there to actually spend month in, month out, and basically increase their revenue with them as well. And that should get your foot in the door. And then it's all about how can you get a trade account open with multiple avenues. So maybe you mentioned to them how you can increase their online revenue, or how you can boost their Amazon sales with advertising or whatever. So it's all about what you can offer them as well as spending money with them as well.
Money talks. They don't give a monkeys about how well you can have a conversation. It's about how much you can spend and how much you can grow their business.
Yeah, 100%. Now, because of where I am now, I've sort of become apparent that I just chuck money at things sometimes. So like now, back then I had to get way more creative. Like I tell my mentees, you have to get creative. But now as you get bigger, you can sort of just say, like, I can spend $5,000 today or $10,000 today. What can we do? So it depends on what sort of level you're at. Because I know people watching this will have various amounts of capital starting from £500 to maybe $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. So it is individual and it's different for everyone.
Talk us through your challenges, Frankie. What was the biggest hurdle that you found yourself having to jump over?
Probably sourcing at the start. I was doing countless hours. I couldn't find nothing. I was going for the wrong brands, I think. I think I wasn't being creative enough. I was just doing what everyone else was doing, basically. And it got me down a bit, to be fair. But then I just, because I'm the sort of person I am, I just kept with it. And that's what got me where I am now. I just didn't give up. Because I know if I don't give up, I'm 100% going to get to where I need to be. But if I do give up, then I'll look back with regret. And I'll be like, oh, I should have kept at it. Especially if I've seen people that I knew at the start doing well now, and I didn't. So that's where it really took off, and I just did not give up.
That's such a defining characteristic of everyone I know that has done well on this. Just resilience, determination, and graft. There's no substitute, is there?
No, you need it.
Right, then let's talk about when you started scaling up. So, I mean, we're talking 2 years here. To make the money that you've made in 2 years, I'm going to say it a few times during this chat, mate, it's unbelievable, and it really is unbelievable. I mean, here I am a year in.
Well, it's a bit surreal, to be fair. Sometimes if I do like a 30k month, I'll look back in embarrassment because I feel like I should be doing like 50-60k month. So that's a sort of level I've set myself. I don't know, it's just I've got a notebook where I used to write down like, oh, I made £10 in sales today, I want to make £50 in sales next week. And I look back and I think I can do that in 10-15 minutes, and it's like it's surreal. When I was scaling up, because I didn't have much capital to start, I only started with a grand or two. So what I used to do was, when I had a big order, I used to sometimes get my mum to give me like a grand. And then as soon as I got payback from Amazon, the last week's sales, because it takes 2 weeks, doesn't it? I'd give her that grand that I owed her. Then the next lot would come to me. So it's like a cycle. It's like basically having a credit card, but with my mum for like a month or so.
Yeah.
And that really allowed me to buy more products whilst the other ones were sold, but I hadn't had my money back yet from Amazon.
I think that's a really important point, because at the beginning, cash flow's your killer. I think that's a really important point, because a lot of the time people say to me, and it's a genuine question, look, you say you took 200 and do this, and this. But in reality, what we train out is that you don't really expect your money back for 3 to 4 months on any one product. And people are saying, well, how come you made it so quick? And exactly that. I was borrowing money out of my personal account just to tide me over and then paying it back when Amazon decided to pay me. And I think that's really important in the early days.
And another key thing is I didn't take no money out for like almost a year.
Yeah.
So I reinvested absolutely everything and added more in from a part-time job. And that's why I grew so quick. Everyone's like, when someone texted me saying, right, how long is it going to take me to quit my job? Or if I make 5K a month, how much can I take out? And I know they've got the wrong mindset, because you need to keep everything in to grow this business properly.
You've got to sacrifice. If you haven't got much money when you're going with, same again, we've got loads of money in the business bank account and we're still eating jacket potatoes for dinner, because now's not the time to draw it out. It goes back in.
Yeah, 100%.
Talk about how do you set your goals? How do you plan for your 6 months, 1 year?
I'm not a massive person of like writing down goals and trying to hit them. I don't know if that's working in my favor or not yet. I need to decide that. But
yeah,
I will have sort of goals. So like I want to hit a 50K month by the end of the year, or a 60K month. Like I'll just say that to myself. But all the goals I've hit, I've not necessarily sat down and thought to myself so much, which probably isn't the best advice maybe people think about when it comes to doing well. But this year, I did have a goal. Well, a few goals. One was to get 400K in sales this year, which I'm almost at. I've still got 3 months. One was to have a six-figure mentee, which I've got. And one was to make 100 grand profit, which I won't talk about that. but let's say I'm on track for most of them, which is really good to see. So maybe I need to be a bit more ambitious next year to actually take myself out of my comfort zone to achieve, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got quarter four to come. You've got all the big months to come. We'll be all right.
Yeah, I know, exactly. That's what I mean. I'm hoping for extreme scalability in the next 3 months. That's what I want.
Yeah, good stuff.
And at the end of the day, you're only going to do well if you really put the work in. That's the same with any business model. You've probably seen it firsthand as well. If you're not going to put the work in, you're not going to get anywhere. And it doesn't matter who you blame, it comes down to you at the end of the day.
That's it. What are the common issues that you find when you're training people up? What are the same sort of questions that come up time and time again?
Probably, so sourcing is hard, no matter how you get taught. It's going to be hard. You need to stick at it when things are in a doubt in your mind.
That's a great shout. One of the images that's always popping up in my head when I'm either training sourcing or doing sourcing myself is those two guys with the pickaxe in the tunnels. And one's
going away.
Yeah. That's it. The other one's walking away with the diamonds just behind him. That's sourcing in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%, mate. You don't ever know when the next product's around the corner.
What software are you using?
I just use Jungle Scout and BuyBot Pro, but I don't just rely on software. I only use it when I need it. So I'll start off with the software. Then there's numerous things I can do that don't have to rely on the software to get results. Yeah. So they're the two main ones I use anyway. So I also use Seller Toolkit to track all my profits for the month as well.
Yeah. So how about your own learning? Are you still investing in your learning, or are you happy where you are at the moment?
I'm happy where I am with wholesale. I don't think there's too, obviously you can always learn, but right now I'm happy with that. With private label, I would like to, I've got some friends that I speak to in the industry who are doing very well. Like I'm talking 100K a month profit sort of thing.
Wow.
Off private label. So he's been helping me quite a bit as well. And that's why it's always good to, one, never do someone over in business, because you will get found out. And two, network, because what can you offer them? What can they offer you? And it works quite well. So even though he's miles ahead of where we are, he is a very good helping hand when it comes to another business model you haven't yet delved full into.
Yeah, no, completely agree. Completely agree. And even you with your level, you will have things that he will need as well, I should imagine.
Yeah, like exactly. Funnily enough, I don't know how it worked, but there's some things that he asked me for, not even to do with wholesale, to do with like brand registry and stuff for my private label product. So I sort of helped him out with that. So yeah, it works well both ways. And obviously, when you know a lot of things in whatever industry, you can always help each other no matter what level you're at.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely agree. Networking is everything, mate. That if someone says to me, what's your secret sauce? It's networking. That's the answer, always. Right then, let's get into your TikTok and your social media presence. How long has it been taking you to grow to what you've got to? Because you've got a decent following there and they're all engaged. That's the important thing with your following.
To be fair, I do want a bigger following. Everyone wants a bigger following. But I post quite regularly. I post like one or twice a day. Yeah, I'm at almost 7,000 now. And the main thing is being transparent. Everyone that's ever done my mentoring says, I'm with you because you're transparent and you do what you say you do. You're not flashing this lifestyle you haven't got or whatever. So one's being transparent, two, providing as much value as you can, and three, having a bit of fun sometimes because, you know, you can't just be boring all the time. So whether that's responding to people that need responding to or just having a bit of fun on TikTok with like saying how much you've earned and whatever, all into one is good.
Yeah, no, it's good, mate. When the net bad comments come in. go on, talk us through. How do you handle those sort of comments? And how do you think, you know what, I'll pick a fight with this guy, but I'll leave that one?
Because I know I'm in the right all the time with these comments I reply to. So I think some guy commented something stupid the other day about revenue and how much Amazon been paying me back in the bank. And he was 8 times lower than what they had been paying me back. And he said something else. And I just called him out on everything that he got wrong. And I said, just go back and watch all the TikToks I've said and see where you went wrong. But sometimes I do have a bit of banter. It's funny because I used to probably be like that as well in my time. But some people do need putting back in their place sometimes.
Yeah. So what's in the future for you, mate? What's coming up?
I want to grow my socials to like 20, 30K like within the next 6 months. That's what I do want. I want to hit £1 million in sales next year, which I think is definitely possible. So they're my two main goals. And then obviously grow the mentoring as well. To a point where I'm still providing as much value as I can to these people, where they can do 300, 400, 500K in sales next year. Some of them are on track for hopefully that. So that's my goals, helping other people, but also making sure my own business is my first priority. And I'm actually doing what I say and hitting those 7-figure marks that I want to hit. Another main thing is probably taking some more time out for myself, because over the last 2 years, I've not really enjoyed the fruits of my labor at all as much as I should. I feel like if other people were in my position, they'd be enjoying it a lot more than I have. So I'm going to Thailand in December for 2.5 weeks. So I'm going to take some time off there and hopefully a few more trips booked for next year as well.
Nice. Yeah, really nice. So what about long term? What are you looking at in, say, 5-10 years? Have you got any plans for it, or are you just going to keep going?
I want to be the sort of businessman that can chuck money at an investment that people bring to me. So the sort of person where it says, right, I've got a property deal here. All it needs is 200K down. It's a 10% fixed over a year or two. That's the sort of person I want to be, where anyone can come to me. They can find whatever deals they've got in any business and they can come to me with the money that I can give them and basically pluck it at that. Obviously, Amazon, I still want to have in 5 years' time where it's automated. I've already got one member of staff, but I mean like 4 or 5 where they know what they're doing. I even have a manager that can scale the business whilst I sit back and watch all the operations and can manage it from where I am and not have to get my hands dirty like I am at the minute or have been in the last 2 years.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it. It's a great plan, and you've definitely got time on your side. It's really interesting when I ask that question, because depending on where people are in their life. So for me, for example, it's just a case of once I've got enough money for everyone to be comfortable and I can buy anything that I want because I've got it in my locker, that will do for me. But if I'm you in your shoes, I would say exactly the same thing, mate. Why not shoot for the stars? Give yourself 10 years, see what you can do.
That's the aim, mate. That's the aim.
Yeah, love it. Love it. So you mentioned you're one member of staff. How are you outsourcing things?
So she just packs for me about 10 hours a week whilst I am doing higher ROI tasks in those 10 hours, whether that's sourcing, making TikToks, teaching other people how to run an Amazon business, ringing up suppliers, sending money to people, doing things that would be a lot more beneficial than me sitting there labeling products, basically, which is at the end of the day, it's just above or at minimum wage ROI tax.
Brilliant bit of advice that I got from someone who was doing well. He said that to me. He said, as soon as you outsource, find the thing that takes you the longest, drives you the maddest, and doesn't benefit your pocket.
Yeah.
And outsource that, whether that's admin, packing, exactly that sort of thing. So yeah, mate, good job. You got any plans for hiring any more people?
I will be, but it won't be till I'm working everything from home at the minute, believe it or not. So when I finally get a warehouse or whatever my next step is, that's probably when I would need someone maybe full-time or 2 part-timers or whatever, where they can be more hands-on with what they need to be doing and I can sort of overlook it as well. But for now, I'm quite lean my business is quite lean, so I don't need to take on more than I have to. I could have got an office about a year ago, but if I don't need the office, there's no point outlaying £600 a month for something I don't physically need. When it gets to a point where I can't move in my house or the outhouse I've got, or I can't get no more trade accounts open because I've got not a business address or whatever, that's when I'll take the next step to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great shout. Speaking of which, then, so when you open up a wholesale account and they say you need to have the capability to take a pallet on in a business estate, do you navigate around that, or do you just move on and find another supplier?
So you can try. So a few ways is one of my main suppliers tried this for me. So he said you haven't got a business address, so you can't get a pallet delivered or whatever. And I said 100% can, because I've had it before. And he was like, oh, I don't know. I said, look, I can spend £2,000 a month with you. And he was open to it. And then in the end, I've ended up spending like £30,000 with them. So trying to say, if you can say to the wholesale, I can spend this amount of money per month, X amount or whatever, one, they'll be more open to it. So try your luck there. If not, say that other wholesalers have done it. If not, if you've got a family or friend that has a business address you can get the stock delivered to, try that. Or if you're a bit further on in your journey, not right at the start, you could get a cheap storage unit that you could get the business address delivered to. Even if it's like, I don't know, £30 a week or whatever, that might bring you back more profit from the products you could get.
If you could go back in time and you're starting again and you've got your money and you're sitting in college, what would you do, or what bit of advice would you give yourself to get going?
The main bit of advice I ever heard was, don't listen to people who are not where you want to be. And it really stuck me, and it still sticks with me now. So when people are telling you not to do something, like, oh, why are you doing that? Why are you not going uni? Why are you not reading this? Or why you dropped out of college or whatever, just think to yourself, are they in the position I want to be in? If they're not, don't take their advice. Even, it sounds horrible, but even like close family, they want the best for you, but they don't know what's best for you. Yeah. So they just want you to be stable and have a stable job and a nice career and whatever. But if you don't want that, why are you listening to them? And if they've never run a business in their life, or if your teacher, your business teacher's never ran a business in their life, why are you taking their advice? Take advice from people who are where you want to be. And that's what I'd say.
That's different to the usual answer we get, mate. So that's really valuable. Right then, we've got some listener questions to finish off, Frankie. My son is 13 and he's getting into Amazon FBA. What advice would you give him? Now, before you answer this, I know this boy. He's going to do fine, this boy. He's a wizard. He's 13 and he's really...
I can imagine who this boy is. what I'd say is, obviously, he can't open an account in his own name. If I was him, I would get advice, get knowledge from someone who's doing well in that industry, and whatever route he wants to go down, is it RA, OA, wholesale, get his hands dirty, but obviously do it under the legalities of someone who can, and get as much experience as you can whilst you can, because you're only 13. So if after school or whatever, you could be emailing suppliers, you could be product sourcing, because it's going to put you in good stead no matter what you do. So get your hands dirty with what you need to be doing, as long as you know what you're doing in the business. So maybe take an hour lesson off someone who knows what they're doing. Surround yourself with people online, if they're allowed online in that industry. So maybe on YouTube, you're looking up to people who are good with their finances, are good at business. Learn off them, listen to podcasts, and basically try running the business without you running the business, because it's going to put you in good stead. It's going to teach you a lot of things that you need to learn anyway for when you're 17, 18 years old, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. His mind's going to be a sponge. Just soak up as much as you can. Exactly that. Get someone old enough that can do it for you. Learn as much as you can, and then you can hit the ground running.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, love it. So one of the other ones, have you faced any barriers or discrimination because of your age when you're putting on this front for wholesalers?
You know what? A mentee said that to me the other day. He said, I was scared of ringing up wholesalers because I sort of feel inferior, like I shouldn't be doing it. And I do feel what he means. Definitely not now, because in trying to put it bluntly, I probably am more than the person I'm speaking to. So I can't, but at the start, 100%. And what I would say is, you're there to spend money with them. So don't sit there and thinking you're inferior, because I bet they wasn't doing what you're trying to do at their your age. They probably wasn't starting a business and trying to better themselves or whatever. They might have been, but they might not have been. So don't look down on yourself because you're an age thing. And I definitely get it more on TikTok because of my age, because I sort of fit this stigma of, oh, you're only 18 or 20. What do you know about business? And I'm like, well, we'll find out.
And I can hand on heart say, mate, having had a proper job since I was 16 years old. Yeah. I never turned over 400 grand in 2 years, mate. So whatever you're doing, however old you are, it doesn't matter. This is a whole new world. And this has got a new platform here where there's no ceiling.
And I bet. So when did you, are you still working now?
Yeah. Still juggling the two jobs at the moment.
So I bet before you started what you're doing now with all this online and Amazon and stuff, your mindset was a lot more fixed than it is now. I bet your mindset's a lot more open now.
100%, mate. 100%. It was the mindset book, the fixed and the growth mindset book. It made me look at myself and think, right, let's do it. And it's exactly that. Just get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, 100%.
Right, that sees us to the end, Frankie. Thank you so much for your time, mate. I'll be in touch and thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I hope I provided a lot of value to yourself and people that are listening today.
I'm sure you have, mate. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, there it is. Really good stuff there. And if we just took alone that bit of feedback Frankie gave to the 13-year-old in the question, hello, Henry, by the way, hope you're well. Say hello to your dad. You can see that Frankie is wise beyond his years. Right? He knows his worth. He knows where he wants to be. Show me another 20-year-old that hasn't had a holiday despite having the money because he knew his business needed his presence and his consistency, and that came first. Show me another business person in 2 years that will have a haggle with a wholesaler and say, no, you can deliver pallets to this address because your mates do, and if you don't want my money, good luck to you. You can't fault that. I love it. Tip of the week. Embrace the ebb and flow of business with confidence and positivity. Look, first off, remember, every business, no matter how successful, it experiences ups and downs. It's a natural part of the journey, but don't let the lows derail you and do not get complacent during the highs. Look, after this chat with Frankie, I believe his secret is it's a blend of unwavering confidence and relentless positivity, because when times get tough, Frankie doesn't see failure. He saw a learning curve and the opportunity to grow and to adapt. This week, let's take a page from his book. Well, let's take many. Keep your confidence high, even when the numbers might not be. Stay positive, because your mindset is such a powerful tool that will shape your business's path. Tip of the week. And that's the show this week. Next week, we're bringing in Natalie Cromie for what would be a two-parter. Natalie is the queen of bundles, who, along with her husband, have got an incredible business set up with Amazon bundle selling across the Atlantic and here in the UK. Along with others as well, Natalie has built an amazing educational program, which we'll talk about a lot in the next 2 weeks. Okay, that will do it. Let's bring in the music. Let's bring in the voiceover. Here comes the usual bit. You know what I'm going to say? Please give us a like. Please subscribe. Please leave a comment on wherever it is you're listening. Please tell your friends about this. Let's get this podcast rolling, because I'm loving it and I really think it's got value. So let's keep going. I'll see you on the other side. Enjoy your week. Take care.
Be sure to join us next time for another dose of inspiration and insights into e-commerce and entrepreneurship. And who knows, by then, Des may well have finished that love project. And always remember, it's time to say goodbye poor, hello rich. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial advice. We know times are tough right now, and if you are struggling financially, please seek help from an appropriate organisation. We've included a link to the Citizens Advice Bureau in the show notes. Remember, you should always consult with a qualified professional before making any significant financial decisions.